Could yet another vote on our future with the European Union be a step closer? Jeremy Corbyn has said at the Labour Party conference that members will be given the final say on whether the party supports calls for another referendum. A vote is lined up for tomorrow. Jeremy Corbyn said he accepted he would be bound by the opinions of conference delegates, but he again insisted he would prefer a general election. Here in Northern Ireland, the DUP are very much against another vote. Sinn Féin's Michelle O'Neill set out her party's position, speaking to Mark Devenport on Sunday Politics.
We have said consistently the majority of people here do not want to see Brexit. That remains our position. If the British people wish to leave the EU, I wish them the very, very best. I hope their future is bright and as well in terms of the economy. But the people here don't want a referendum or don't want Brexit, so we do not need a second referendum. We have spoken, we have said this is our position, and that remains the case. And I think that there's no appetite very clearly within either the Labour Party or the Tories for that second referendum. But I don't believe that's for us, that's for the British people to decide.
Well, you said there's no need for a second referendum. Is it because Irish Republicans feel that they have the UK where they want it, with a difference between England and Wales on the one hand and Northern Ireland and Scotland on the other?
No, it's not about that at all. It's about we're being very sensible and being very pragmatic in relation to Brexit. I mean, we don't want to see Brexit. We know all the implications that there will be for our economic future. So I think that in terms of being responsible, and we are a responsible leaders in terms of wanting to drive the economy, create jobs and investment. So Brexit is bad. And throughout the course of this, while some people would have said that Republicans think this is a good idea, this is great, it's not great, because you need to build a stable economy. We need to make sure we deliver in terms of the economy, job creation, investment for the future. We don't want to run the North into the ground in order to create a new Ireland. But clearly Brexit has changed the whole political context here. People are now thinking about the constitutional future, people who perhaps in the past haven't done so. So it's created a whole new debate. It's a live debate. The fact that Peter Robinson even acknowledged it back over the summer months shows that now Unionist people are also looking at what does the future look like for them and how can they remain within the EU, and the context in which to do that would be within the New Ireland.
0-30-30-80-55-55. Do you think there should be another vote? 0-30-30-80-55-55. The Labour Party peer Lord Adonis with us this morning. Good morning to you, Andrew.
Good morning.
Good morning, in the DP MLA, Jim Wells. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Well, Lord Adonis, is a vote, another vote, a step closer?
It's a big step closer, actually. I think it's now becoming more likely than not because of two things. Firstly, the changing position of the Labour Party, which I'm now confident will vote for a people's vote when Theresa May presents her deal or no deal to Parliament in about 2 months' time. But the other reason why is the collapse of the Salzburg summit last week, which was hugely important because it shows that there isn't a meeting of minds between Theresa May and the European Union. And one of the reasons there isn't is because of the issue of the Irish border, where the government of the Republic of Ireland and the EU is simply not prepared to agree with Theresa May at any arrangement that doesn't mean that Northern Ireland remains in the single market and the customs union, so you don't have a border.
Not yet, they're not, Andrew. But if we were to leave, if we were to come out of the EU, then they would come up with some type of solution. This is bluff by the Irish government and indeed the EU, isn't it?
No, I don't believe it is, actually, because they've got no incentive whatever to agree to any regime that invents a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. On the contrary, why agree to a deal that creates a hard border when that would be exactly the same result from having no deal? The whole purpose of having a deal is so that there isn't a hard border. Now, that, I should say, is also going to be a very significant issue in the minds of parliamentarians like myself in London, because one of the things we are simply not prepared to vote for is any arrangement that either means a hard border in Northern Ireland or a different customs regime between Northern Ireland and Great Britain. And it simply isn't possible to square that circle, because if Northern Ireland remains in the single market and the customs union, which is what's needed to avoid a border, then the logic has to be that the whole United Kingdom remains in the single market and the customs union. Now, I, of course, support...
It doesn't have to stay.
The logic is, if you don't want a border down the Irish Sea, if you're prepared to have a customs border down the Irish Sea, then you can split the United Kingdom, then, of course, you can sort out this problem. But if you don't, the logic is that the whole UK stays effectively in the EU. Now, of course, that's a policy I support. It's not the present government's policy, and it's why I think we're heading towards a parliamentary crisis and towards a referendum.
Jim Wells?
Well, first of all, I think we all welcome very strongly the strong pro-union comments made by the Prime Minister on Friday. She stated it so clearly in her speech when she said that we cannot do anything that differentiates between this part of the United Kingdom, which is Northern Ireland, and the rest of the United Kingdom. And by the way, Michelle O'Neill, all of Northern Ireland...
She hardly had a choice if the DUP have got her arm up her back.
I think we're delighted. And where would we be, Stephen, if it wasn't for the strong DUP presence at Westminster? Without our 10 votes, we could have faced a disastrous situation on December the 5th last year. Well, this very proposal was on the paper that the border would effectively be drawn down the middle of the Irish Sea.
And nobody in your party told people that when you were advocating Brexit at the start.
Well,
you didn't talk clear. About all of these complications. No, in fact, it was going to be a seamless process, Mr. Wells.
Stephen, we made it very clear that Northern Ireland must leave the European Union on exactly the same basis as the rest of the United Kingdom. And that's our line, and always has been. And that was discussed quite a lot during the campaign leading up to the Brexit referendum. I welcome the stance the Prime Minister has taken. We've gone in together, and we've got to go out together on exactly the same basis. Because, Stephen, if you draw the border down the middle of the Irish Sea, you affect the vast proportion of our trade, which is between Northern Ireland and the rest of the United Kingdom, and that simply cannot happen.
Is the DUP going to accept the result of a second vote if a second vote happens?
Well, the DUP, I believe, will oppose having a second vote. Indeed, most of the parties in Northern Ireland oppose a second referendum. My first vote ever, Stephen, was in 1975, where I went in and voted Leave. Way back, 43 years ago. And there was never any call at that stage for a second referendum. Nobody who lost that, and we did lose, came back and said, oh no, hang on, best out of three. That simply is not the way that democracy acts. 17 million people, the largest turnout ever for any single cause in the history of the United Kingdom, voted to leave, and their view must be respected in the middle of all of this.
No matter what. No matter whether people want to change their minds or not.
Stephen, what you do is you have a referendum, you steer Parliament in a certain direction, and then you leave it to the 650 people in Westminster to come up with the best arrangement possible to leave Europe. But the message was absolutely clear by over a million votes, we want out. And we're certainly not going to have any deal which involves remaining within the customs union or the single market and under the control of the European Court of Justice.
Lord Adonis?
Well, I think what you're hearing from the DUP, unfortunately, is a totally incoherent position, because on the one hand, they say they don't want a hard border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. And on the other hand, they're supporting policies that would necessitate such a border. So what we've just heard is the necessity to come out of the single market and the customs union. Well, it's coming out of the single market and the customs union that will necessitate a hard border, including customs controls and tariffs between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. Now, I've been to Northern Ireland a lot recently. Indeed, I'm coming on Friday to Derry, where I'm speaking at the university at McGee College, and I've got to know the situation well. The overwhelming majority of people in Northern Ireland across both communities are strongly opposed to Brexit, and they tell me that they're strongly in favour of a people's vote so that they have a say on the terms of Brexit. Indeed, the parallel that's always drawn for me is the referendum on the Good Friday Agreement in 1998, which I know the DUP opposed. They opposed the Good Friday Agreement. But in the referendum, which was overwhelmingly carried, every household in Northern Ireland was sent a copy of the Good Friday Agreement. Now, I regard that as a model for how we should conduct our democracy.
You're also
every household in the UK should be sent a copy of Theresa May's deal when she negotiates it in Brussels. They're perfectly capable of taking it in. It's their future and the future of their children that's at stake, and they should have the final say on what happens.
You're also a clever marketeer, Lord Adonis, and your friends, the Brexiteers, the Remainers, are clever as well. This language of a people's vote. The people voted in the referendum. So this is the experts and the elite. This is the vote for the elite now. It's not a people's vote, is it?
Well, of course, all referendums are people's votes. So they're the same thing. It's absolutely correct to say that it's another referendum, but it's another referendum on a fundamentally different question, because 2 years ago we didn't have an agreement to look at. There wasn't one, obviously, because it hadn't been negotiated. This time there will be one, because Theresa May is negotiating one in Brussels. And just as the people were able to read the Good Friday Agreement in 1998 and make their judgment on it, so they should be able to read her agreement and make their judgment.
Were the numbers in Parliament for a second vote?
Well, I'm not sure there are the numbers at the moment. This is a very fluid political crisis. But if my party, the Labour Party, votes for a people's vote, which I now, as I say, is more likely than not, and you have a group of Conservatives who are putting the national interest ahead of the party interest, and that looks as if that's going to happen too, and they may call for a people's vote, then you've got a majority, even if the DUP continue to support a hard Brexit with a hard border between Ireland and Northern Ireland.
Well, there's no if. The DUP will, won't they? There's no way the DUP are going to support your vote.
Yeah, which is the reason why we need Conservatives who are putting the national interest beyond the party interest to vote with us. And I think that will happen. So that even with the DUP, Theresa May won't have the votes.
Quite a few calls on this morning. Here's Dan in Lisburn. Morning, Dan.
Sorry?
Good morning.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello. I would speak to Mr. Adonis there.
Yes, Lord Adonis.
I would like to beg your pardon.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Adonis. Mr. Adonis.
Lord Adonis.
I beg your pardon. A Labour Party with a lordship? Sorry, Lord Adonis, I beg your pardon. Could you tell me, Lord Adonis, what you're going to do about the hard border that already exists in Northern Ireland? Because earlier this year, we had 25... we had the Irish government raided an illegal production, an illegal factory producing cigarettes, which had a production of 250,000 cigarettes per hour. It had £25 million of stock.
Well, let's get to the point, Dan.
Pardon?
Let's get to the point.
Yeah, there is a border there. The Remainers presume that smuggling and cattle rustling will only start after Brexit is introduced. But we have a report from Grant Thornton, the accountant of Belfast, who say that the actual illicit trade in Ireland at the moment is €2.3 billion a year.
Dan, thank you. Jim in Belfast. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, you're talking about a people's vote. What was the last vote? It was the people who voted. Now, are we going to do this every time we have an election?
Well, the question is, were they informed well enough? Did they know enough?
Well, you know, you can always...
Did you vote?
I did vote, yes.
Right, and you voted to leave, presumably?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I didn't.
You voted to remain.
The point is, you've got to give... If 17 million people vote to leave...
Yes.
You've got to give them the chance. This is what our election is. Now, the United Kingdom is well known all over the world for the house of... What would you call it? The law... We stand by the law and everything. So are we going to spend a lot more money on having another vote? Plus the fact, if we bring this into our constitution, every time we have a vote and people don't like it, are we going to spend millions on another election? That was up to the Prime Minister. And as I thought at the time, yes, there should have been booklets sent out on the left-hand side, what we get now at the moment, on the right hand side, what we would get the whole way through.
But how on earth would they have sent that booklet out? Here we are 2.5 years later and they still don't know what we're going to get.
Well, they have some sort of an idea. You know, for example, one thing that the young children are worried about, the teenagers, can I still go to the European Union for a holiday?
Jim Wells?
Well, first of all, I hope when Lord Adonis visits Londonderry, he actually gets a chance to meet some unionists, because the last time he appeared in Northern Ireland, it was noticeable that the only people he met were people who agreed with his point of view. And I'm certain that he needs to hear what the majority unionist view on this is that we don't want a second referendum. The reality is that during the entire...
And where are the examples of the DUP reaching out to Brexiteers to understand their position?
The DUP's door is open.
Sorry, to Remainers.
The DUP's door is open to all the people of Northern Ireland to discuss the view on Brexit. But what was noticeable when Lord Adonis came on his fact-finding mission previously, the one group of people he didn't meet were those who were particularly opposed to remaining within the European Union. But the fact is, Stephen, in the entire campaign that raged for almost 18 months leading up to the Brexit referendum, the idea of a second vote was never mentioned. No one was told, look, if you vote in a certain way, we'll have a second go. That never happened. And that's an insult to the integrity of the 17 million people who voted to leave.
And were people told, Jim, by including your party, of how difficult it would be to get a deal? Did your party explain to the people of Northern Ireland the complex issue around the border?
Yes, I think during the debate, all of those issues were explored.
Really?
Not only by the,
and what was the DUP's position on the solution?
I'm just, as you know, Stephen, a lowly backbencher, but what I would say is that everyone during the debate indicated this was going to be a difficult and complex process.
I'm not sure that is what was explained during the debate.
Well, no.
I didn't hear Brexiteers saying this is going to be a difficult and complex process.
No, I mean, everybody realised there have to be a lot of negotiations before we actually leave, and they have been, and there will be, there's no doubt about it. But in the long term, the benefit to the United Kingdom is enormous. To have a free trade deal that we can go out into the world and sell our products throughout the nations is a good one. Now, are there going to be difficulties between now and reaching that point? Absolutely they are. But the long-term goal is one well worth achieving. And we look back in 10 or 15 years and say, that was a good move.
Andrew?
I'm always delighted to meet the DUP. Part of the reason why I didn't meet the DUP when I was in Belfast last was they didn't want to meet me. And I meet them in the House of Lords and Parliament all the time because they take their seats.
You're in my club.
I'd be delighted to meet them. And I come on Friday, if Jim would like to arrange for me to meet DUP representatives in London, I'd be delighted to do so. My door is constantly open. But as I say, because the DUP sit in Westminster, I'm constantly aware of their point of view. Indeed, the debates on Northern Ireland...
I'm not sure, Lord Adonis, if the DUP...
Are simply held with the DUP because there are no other representatives who sit in Parliament.
Yeah, you're asking Jim to facilitate a meeting with the DUP. I'm not even sure if the DUP will meet Jim Wells anymore. But that's that's another story.
If you'd like to use his good offices, that's fine by me. But can I make the fundamental point? Most people understand that there's a big difference between reaching a decision in principle and then taking a final decision when you can see the terms. It's like buying a house. It's one thing to say that you like the look of the house from looking at the brochure in the estate agent's window. It's quite another thing to say you want to proceed once you've seen the survey, visited the house, looked at the neighbourhoods, you know, had the report on the dry rot and so on. And what's essentially happening to us as a country is we've been going through this process the last years of conducting a survey on Brexit. And I thought it was very telling that Jim said it's proved to be much more complex and difficult than anybody expected. That is certainly true. And that, to my mind, is a compelling reason why the people should have the final say, and they want it. When I come to Northern Ireland, and I've been twice in recent months, virtually everyone I've met has told me that they want a people's vote because they want to have the final say. They don't want politicians to take these decisions about their future without them being involved.
Brian's in West Belfast. Morning, Brian.
Stephen, people are worried. People are really worried, and I, for one, want another referendum. Prior to the referendum, prior to even the people talking about moving out of the EU, being in the EU or being in the old common market didn't affect me, Stephen. Okay, I had a job, raising my kids, I had a mortgage. It didn't affect me being in the EU or the common market, you want to call it. Now, all I'm hearing is doom and gloom. By the way, these people who want to stay, like
well, you're not
Jim Wells,
just hearing doom and gloom. Jim Wells is talking to you, and other Brexiteers will talk to you about the opportunity of doing deals around the world, Brian, uninhibited from having to stay part of this EU club.
Well, yeah, but yes, that could happen. Yes, but we don't know, Stephen. That's my point. Why I'm ringing in. I call as it is. During the debate and during the referendum, excuse me, we're told lies. I mean, just the Leave campaign don't listen to the professionals. Like, there's a statement that the governor of Bank of England made last week. Now, he's no axe to grind. He's leaving his post in a couple of years.
It's Mark Carney you're talking about.
Yes. He stated that if we do get a no deal or leave, house prices are going to drop.
Hold on a minute, because you're loading that. What Mark Carney said was that if there was a no-deal Brexit, not just leave, if there was a no-deal Brexit, then the worst-case scenario would be a 30-odd% drop in house prices. He also said that if there was a deal with Brexit, that indeed house prices and other things could improve significantly.
Well, okay, I hope that. But Stephen, you know what I'm trying to get across here is we don't know. I mean, this is why people are worried, and people are the people who voted to leave are saying now, when we were in, it was none of these problems. And that's why I think there should be an referendum.
So in other words, Jim Wells, your party and the other Brexiteers are gambling with people's lives.
I think that's putting it a bit dramatically, Stephen.
Listen to what Jim's saying today.
We had a prosperous economy.
People's prosperity, not people's lives, people's prosperity, people's financial security,
Stephen,
is a better way of putting it.
These are the same doomsters who said that there was going to be a double-dip recession, record unemployment, a fall in the stock market, and burgeoning inflation. None of them were true. No, they got it totally wrong, and they're getting it wrong again.
Can you guarantee that this won't happen if we completely leave the EU? Can you guarantee that for me?
What I'll say to you is that in 10 or 15 years' time, we'll look back and say that was one of the best moves the UK ever made. But let's also be practical about this.
What about the short term?
Short term, there'll be turbulence. No question about it.
Jacob Rees-Mogg has said it'll take 50 years to see the benefits.
The benefits will start to show, and the United Kingdom will be delighted that they made this decision to leave the bureaucracy of Europe. But Stephen, let's also look at a practical aspect of this. How technically could there be a second referendum or a people's vote? We are due to leave the European Union on the 29th of March.
People are going to get on the streets and demand it.
But on the practical, you need a primary legislation, you need an active parliament to go through Westminster, you need another 18-month debating period, you need to have your vote again. Now, I mean, that just cannot happen.
Your party is a big party in Northern Ireland, Jim, and an influential party. Why do you think the majority of people in Northern Ireland voted Remain?
Well, because obviously all of the nationalists basically voted to leave, and a high proportion of those who
voted to remain
unionist there was no clear direction given from the Ulster Unionist Party whatsoever to the unionist.
It's their fault.
But no, I'm not blaming the Ulster. What I'm saying,
why do you think people didn't follow the DUP's lead in Northern Ireland? How could you not influence your own people?
Because you start with 45% of the people in Northern Ireland who are very much pro-European Union. But, Stephen, it was not a Northern Ireland vote. It was a UK-wide vote, and a very clear majority of the people of the United Kingdom. And a very valid
point. You would care about people in Northern Ireland, wouldn't you, as opposed to people in Dorset?
Yes, but what I'm saying is I think a very valid point was made on your top table debate the other night, where I think it was Robin Swan said, where do you draw the line? Because the majority of people in Antrim, County Antrim, voted to leave. So do you say that they stay outside the European Union, the rest of Northern Ireland comes in? That's not the way that democracy in the United Kingdom works.
Well, Claire Hannah's joining us now from the SDLP. Morning to you, Claire.
Good morning.
It seems to be a circular debate, this, doesn't it? That it goes round and round and very rarely moves on, both sides entrenched in their positions, except the Labour Party now, their territory has moved insofar as they're now contemplating another vote. They will have another vote, in fact.
I think that's the point. It is deadlocked. We are going round and around. And I think a lot of people, a lot of parties are trading on the fact that people have understandably switched off from this debate and that it has got extremely technical, so people can bluff on a lot of the details. But Jim said that the people have spoken, let the MPs work it out. But the fact is that they can't, and every indication shows that there is absolutely no majority for any different type of Brexit. There's no majority for a no deal. There's no majority for a Brexit with a backstop, etc., etc. So the Westminster will be deadlocked, and some people will say go to a general election, and maybe that's the case, but it won't resolve it either. A lot of things have changed. A lot of things that weren't on the ballot paper, like stockpiling blood and employers going down to three-day weeks, and all of the red lines that the government has put in. I mean, we weren't told any of this stuff, like we couldn't have the single market. Leave broke the electoral law. That's new information that's happened since the referendum. And the global context has changed. Donald Trump is in the White House. He's made it very clear he's interested in trade wars and protectionism and not establishing any particular partnership with anybody, never mind the fact that the EU already has trade deals with two-thirds of the world. And indeed, on your programme last week, Jim Allister couldn't name a single country or a single product that the EU prevented trade with. So a lot of this wasn't aired before the referendum. People like David Davis said, it would be the easiest deal in history. We'd have it all resolved over a cup of tea one afternoon. People were, in many cases, misinformed, and they're entitled to vote between the deal or the no deal that's presented to them or something else. And if Brexit's so amazing, as people like Jim Wells think it is, then they have nothing to fear. People will back it again.
Jim?
Well, the point is that even if Claire wanted, could get what she wanted, the technical difficulties is that that plunges the country into several more years of turmoil, because you're going to have a reopen the debate in its entirety. And where's the UK economy going to go during that period? The decision has been made, it's been left to the MPs, and we have to get out of Europe on the best possible basis. Now, if Europe decides that they're not going to play ball, and they have to show an example to the UK because they do not want other countries leaving, like Hungary or the Dutch or the French, so therefore they have to make it as painful as possible. Now, if we do, we go out under World Trade Organization rules. That leaves the United Kingdom perfectly capable of negotiating its own deals throughout the world.
Well, for a start, a trade deal takes about 10 years to negotiate. If you look at Norway, that's allowed to strike its own trade deals, they'll tell you they never do it because the EU has the best trade deals. Like, maybe, Jim, you can tell me what we're thwarted from doing. But the EU have been flexible. They've said you can have a deal like Norway, you can have a deal like Canada. What they are saying, and they're entitled to say, is we're not ripping up our single market to accommodate this. But, Jim, what happens when Parliament's deadlocked? The fact is, and all the papers were full yesterday of a general election in November. And if that's the case, bring it on. I think a lot of people would like the opportunity to fight that. But that will necessitate pausing Article 52. I agree that this is really complex. Getting a second referendum will be difficult, but it won't be any more difficult or any more damaging than Brexit is going to be anyway.
And Claire, when do you think you could, if you ever got your desire, a second referendum, when do you think that would be held?
Well, I think if you look, there's a report written by the man who wrote the Article 50 clause, actually, that highlights all of the hurdles that would have to be jumped. But I think he says the quickest you could probably mobilise a referendum is about 10 months. So I guess if it's decided in, for example, November, once the deal comes back and Parliament is deadlocked, then you could be looking late next year. But the fact is, Jim, there's no pathway. The economic turmoil is going to happen anyway if we have a no deal, and that's looking increasingly likely because the UK won't soften any of its red lines. I mean, Jim, if it's so great, why are you worried about putting this to people again? Is it the fact that you know a lot of the things that Leavers got away with saying during the election will be scrutinised, and you won't be able to kind of be so fast and loose with some of the facts?
Well, Claire, had the United Kingdom voted to remain, would there have been a massive outcry for a second referendum? No, there wouldn't. Those who wanted to leave...
I'll let you finish your point and then I need to come back.
Because those who wanted to leave would have accepted, as we did in 75. We accepted the decision and we got on with it. Now, that has been to the detriment of the UK economy ever since, but we accepted the result. So notice also when the Good Friday referendum was held in 1998, there was nobody calling for a second vote on it either. We just accepted it and got on with it. Now, we didn't agree for one moment. Many unionists felt it was totally wrong what happened, but we had to accept the will of the people. And you have to accept that a very clear majority voted to leave, and that's the way that democracy works in the United Kingdom. Okay. There is no history.
Hang on. I need to ask. Jim, you didn't just accept the Good Friday Agreement. Your party screamed in the windows and disrupted it for years, but many parts of it, your party still doesn't accept.
Yes, but Claire, we never demanded a second referendum. We had to accept
the result. But you refused to part it, and you wrecked the institution for many years after. But the fact is, if you don't take it from me, take it from David Davis, a prominent Leaver, who, by the way, has changed his tune on a lot of things since the referendum, but a prominent Leaver. He has said, and this is on video, if the UK voted to leave, there should then be a second referendum on the deal, because that would be important for democracy.
All right.
Rees Mogg has said the same thing, Nigel Farage.
We've lots of calls coming in this morning. Here's Joan. Morning, Joan.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Joan.
I fully agree with the lady from the SDLP. It would be a disaster to leave Europe. The fact is that the people of Northern Ireland and Scotland have voted overwhelmingly to remain inside Europe. At the time of the last vote, please remember, no one had the facts. the facts. People were very ignorant. Now we do have the
facts.
That's
a wee bit patronising, Joan. And what facts do you now have that you didn't then?
We absolutely know that this would be a disaster, both for trading.
You absolutely don't know that. How do you know that?
Yes, we do.
How can you look into the future?
Because we can read the reports clearly now to see what's going to happen, affecting trade and business, affecting our travel, affecting our food imports. It's like going back in time 50 years, actually, to leave to leave Europe. Also, we can do business at the minute. I speak as a business person exporting, a global exporter.
Really? What do you export, Joan?
I export high-end clothing.
Oh, right.
All over the world at the minute. I'm employing people and hope to employ more, but...
Is that an internet venture, or have you got a factory, or what?
Everything, yes.
Really?
If this should happen, we will not be...
All these years you've been coming on this programme. All these years you've been coming on this programme, I didn't know you had a few quid.
Well, I work very hard, Stephen, like you do.
You're worth a fortune.
No.
Go on, how much are you worth? Go on, how much have you got in the bank?
That would be telling. Seriously, I agree fully with the Labour Party. I disagree with Jim Wells because I'm not a nationalist. I have never voted. I just voted to remain. I'm thinking seriously from a business point of view for the economy of Northern Ireland. We must remain in Europe.
Well, the Alliance MLA, Stephen Farry, joining us now as well.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen. I know you've been waiting for a while, so no doubt you're ready to deliver the solution to the people of Northern Ireland.
Well, there's several solutions open to us, and I mean, none of these are mutually exclusive. I mean, we can go for the people's vote, so Alliance is very much supporting that. I know Claire and the SDLP are as well, and we had a motion before Belfast City Council last week, which unfortunately didn't get through due to Sinn Féin, bizarrely and strangely, not supporting it. But we also were looking forward to that special deal for Northern Ireland to reflect our own special circumstances here. Unfortunately, if we go for a hard Brexit UK-wide, then that is the only real choice that we have in order to protect the very particular situation around the Good Friday Agreement on our local economy, Stephen.
Yeah, but the DUP aren't going to allow it to happen. They're not going to allow Northern Ireland to have a different status than the rest of the UK.
Well, this is
it's
something
not going to happen.
This is something that's extremely worrying and concerning. On the one hand, what they're doing is actually very destructive to our local economy and to our political situation. And for people who are coming from essentially a unionist perspective, it is actually very counterproductive to the future of the union, because the union is based upon people of Northern Ireland supporting it into the future. And there's been a lot of pragmatism from across the board over the past number of years. And the stance that the DUP are taking at present is actually alienating a lot of people. So it's an entirely counterproductive approach that they're taking from their own particular perspective. And it is strange.
Jim Wells?
You're not alienating our support base. We have found that our stance on Europe has gone down exceptionally well with the unionist community. I accept that amongst nationalists, there's a very different view. But the reality is that there will be uncertainty for months ahead. But at the end of the day, the goal is one worth reaching. Remember Britain, United Kingdom, was a very prosperous economy before we ever set foot in Europe. And Britain, once again, can be even more prosperous.
That's incorrect. If you go back to the 1970s, the UK was referred to as the sick man of Europe. After the Second World War, the UK economy declined massively. We were overtaken by France, Germany, all of whom rebuilt on the back of the war. The UK kept declining through to the early 1970s. It was only through Europe and the single market that the UK reinvented its economy.
And unemployment was less than 2% at that stage. And indeed, unemployment has dropped dramatically since we announced that we were leaving the United Kingdom. People in your own camp said there would be massive unemployment. It hasn't happened. All the indicators showed things have never gone better than the day that we announced we were leaving Europe.
Look at Agri-Food. Agri-Food employs 80,000 people in Northern Ireland. Farmers, people who work in factories, people who drive the lorries, maintain the machines. If we go for your World Trade Organization version of events, Jim, we'd end up really impacting the future of agri-food.
Listen, unfortunately,
that will cost people's jobs.
Unfortunately, we're out of time this morning. We could go on talking about Brexit all day and all night for the next couple of years. Thank you very much indeed, Stephen, Mr. Wells, Claire Hannah, thank you very much.